Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hey everyone, it is the Mediocrity Podcast of Love and Movies. And Jeremy and John and Brian, Mediocrity Podcast is back this week. I'm so excited. I'm Brian Kluger, of course, with Jeremy Miggert, Jonathan Atterbury. What's up?
What is up, man? What an intro.
What's up?
I try to change it up every week. I do. Is everybody fat and happy from Halloween candy?
I didn't eat that much Halloween candy, to be honest.
Yeah? Yeah, me either.
I didn't go crazy. I had like a caramel apple and some cookies, I think, but that was pretty much it.
You went semi-healthy with it, you nutrition freak.
I love caramel apples. I don't know if caramel apples count as semi-healthy.
Have you ever had the caramel apple at Neiman Marcus?
I don't even think I've been to a Neiman Marcus.
Okay. You should check out their caramel apples. They might have them online, but you should check them out. They are insane.
Have you ever had a caramel apple from Disneyland?
No, I've never been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World, but that was back in 1987. So,
all right. I was just going to ask if you knew how it compared to their caramel apples, because theirs are pretty off the chain.
Really?
To use a young hip kid's term.
I like that. It's
off the chizane.
Off the chizane as your eyebrow raises. I saw that rock eyebrow raise. My goodness. And Jeremy, you know, caramel apples for you, just maybe a bite or two of candy corn or something?
Yep, just had a couple small pieces. That was it.
Yeah, that's about what I did. Some dark chocolate Kit Kats and a Snickers. You know, keep it simple, keep it light. But yeah, there's still leftover candy. We all survived Halloween at Mediocrity Podcast. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about today. So much has come out since last week, and we have to get all to it. News, movies, the iPhone X, video games, and of course, we are going to recast Young Guns later on in the show, which I'm very excited for. I think, you know, we should have made a stipulation with it. Like we would have to cast like over 70 actresses for each role, but we didn't do that.
We should do that soon.
But let's get to some news. First, there's a bit of news that came out today, right before this podcast started today, and I don't know if y'all have heard about it yet, but I want to get your thoughts on it. 21st Century Fox, you know, the big parent company of 20th Century Fox and Fox Networks and FX and everything, their stock went way up today. Do you know why? Anyone?
No.
Mm-mm.
Because 21st Century Fox is in talks with Disney to sell everything to Disney.
Really?
Yes. Which is, how big is Disney going to be? I don't know. But there's nothing set in stone yet, but I guess a lot of the people on the inside of both companies have said, yes, we've had multiple talks about 21st Century Fox selling everything, their rights, their distribution to Disney. And, what do y'all think about that?
I think that's nuts. I would love to. I mean, I'm up for that. I'm okay with Disney owning a lot of stuff.
Why? Why is that?
Well, okay, so if Disney bought 20th Century Fox, then that would mean that we could finally integrate so much more of the Marvel Universe into the Marvel Universe.
So I'm trying to think. I guess so, yeah, Fox, because they have Fantastic Four, right?
And X-Men.
Simultaneously there.
They have X-Men. They've got Deadpool. They've got, you know, Wolverine, all of that stuff that would all be able to come into the official Marvel universe.
They would probably pretty much be buying everything just to get those things.
But, yeah, definitely.
Plus, not only that, if they end up owning all, like, the Fox catalog, imagine what that does for their Disney streaming service.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So I wanted to bring that up because a little bit of news is that one of the best shows ever on television, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is by Fox FX, is leaving Netflix for good in December. Will no longer be available on Netflix. So I wonder if this has any merit that will the Disney app have all the episodes of It's Always Sunny. So yeah, that's really weird. And like, does that mean like Disney's going to own Simpsons now? Wow. I can't imagine Disney owning Simpsons. Yeah, it's something crazy to talk about because Disney literally within the past several years, they got Marvel, they got Lucasfilm. So now they just pretty much own all of Marvel and all of Star Wars in addition to everything Disney. Now adding 21st Century Fox, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I wonder how big of a deal that would be. But yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't even think about, ooh, Wolverine, X-Men, and Fantastic Four coming over.
That's kind of a big deal.
So
that's pretty much what they want.
So do you think that they'll reboot everything, or do you think they'll use the same cast and stuff if this actually does happen?
From which movies?
From X-Men, like the James McAvoy and all that stuff, or do you think they'll start over from scratch?
I think they'll start over from scratch.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Hmm. All right.
I think they're going to want to do it their own way.
Right?
There was actually a rumor a while back that that there's an unnamed movie that's on the Disney list. Like when they brought Spider-Man in, they like bumped a bunch of stuff out, and there was supposed to be a scheduled Inhumans movie. But now that they made a TV show and there's not going to be a movie, that slot is still open. And so there were a lot of theories that like unnamed Marvel movie was actually going to be a Fantastic Four movie.
Wow.
Huh. Because Marvel had actually been working with Fox on a lot of their TV shows, like The Gifted. Like Marvel actually had input and helped them out with those. And so part of the reason that everybody thought they were kind of like playing nice together was that Fox was going to let them buy back or have whatever, however you want to word it, the Fantastic Four rights.
Hmm. I mean, if any movie needed to be redone, it'd be Fantastic Four. Nobody's done it right, and I bet Marvel would do it right. But, It's interesting. So, yeah, again, nothing set in stone. And if this actually did happen, I can't imagine it taking place for another year or two. But still, that's a pretty big deal. Like, 21st Century Fox is a huge, huge, huge company. And just Disney becoming even bigger. I mean, I feel like Disney's going to eat up everybody, really. So,
except for Amazon, apparently.
Yeah, except for Amazon. They haven't gone that way yet. But yeah, 21st Century Fox.
Or Warner Brothers.
Yeah, you never know. Universal.
I want Disney to get Warner Brothers. I was just thinking this the other day about how much I would love for Disney to be in control of the Potter world.
Potter and Lord of the Rings.
I mean, well, I don't really care about them having control of Lord of the Rings. It'd be great, I think, if they did. But specifically, I think they could do great things with the Harry Potter film universe.
Okay. All right. Have Mickey Mouse and Harry Potter running around fucking acting a fool.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Well, you never know. Speaking of Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien's estate is looking to sell off the rights again to somebody. And it looks like they want to do a TV series of Lord of the Rings. And so far, Amazon, Netflix, and HBO are in the running. And the cost for just the rights to use Tolkien's Lord of the Rings universe is going to be between $200 and $250 million, making it the biggest purchase ever in the history of cinema for rights to something. Now, that's $200, $250 million before any creative stuff gets done.
Yeah, before they pay a single actor.
Or production value, pre-production, a photographer, whatever. So, yep. Do you want this? Is this something everybody wants?
I want this so badly. badly.
So, Jeremy and Josie and Jonathan and Lauren, Jonathan's wife, are huge Lord of the Rings fans. They're knee-deep into the Lord of the Rings new game, Shadow of War. And I guess you're just – so does this news come as a big good shit for you? Or is this kind of like, oh, we already have enough. Why do it over in TV form?
Different for everybody. I know I sent the link to Josie and she was pissed. She was like furious, like, do not fuck with my Lord of the Rings stuff.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
want it.
She's like, don't touch my stuff. Don't touch my stuff.
Meanwhile, I was just like thrilled. I'm completely stoked at the idea of getting a Lord of the Rings. Now, one thing I think that's been misrepresented in the media about this so far is everyone keeps on saying a Lord of the Rings TV show. And there's been nothing to indicate that that's what we're getting. What they're doing is getting the rights to the Middle Earth universe.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the whole. So basically, what is said about the rights is that it's the rights to certain things, not all things. Meaning, like probably some of the bigger characters from Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit will not be included in this rights purchase. Meaning, you might not get Gandalf. You might not get Frodo.
But that's just speculation. That's all just speculation. I can't imagine that. Them doing a Lord of the Rings, like a Middle Earth show, and not having the rights to any of the big characters. At that point, why the fuck are you even doing that? Just buy a lesser known fantasy, rights to a lesser known fantasy world that's already been created.
Yeah, exactly. But they're.
I have a feeling that if they do it, they'll get rights to the characters that they want to do. But who's to say, you know, if it's from everything, I don't know how to pronounce his name, whether it's Bezos or Bezos,
Bezos.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a self-professed fantasy fanatic and a huge fan of Lord of the Rings. And he has been going on and on and on about how badly he wants to have his own version of Game of Thrones.
Well, that's and the big wants, thing. That's
yeah, big exactly. Thing. So if they're going to do that, they can do this whole sweeping thing. You know, they could start before The Hobbit in the timeline. They could do then The Hobbit. They could work their way through all of Lord of the Rings. They could work their way into the Children of Húrin, you know, which was a massive prequel, or anything after Lord of the Rings. There's so much that happened in that universe that they could do an infinite amount of storytelling with it.
No, yeah, it's the whole, there's so much in that universe. We've seen Lord of the Rings done, we've seen The Hobbit done, but we haven't seen the Silmarillion done yet, and probably a bunch of the other kind of writings from his Tolkien's, you know, backlogs or whatever. It would be cool to actually see it in TV form, because you get a lot through that. You know, if they do hour long episodes like Game of Thrones, It's a lot of content, and they can derive from tons of stuff and go different places that books haven't gone.
And as great as much as I love the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies, I would love to see, you know, multiple seasons of that story where you can get, you know, 30 hours of content out of those books as opposed to, you know, 10 or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. And you want to see like stuff like from the elves side and stuff from the dwarf side. And, you know,
they had to leave out some serious meat and potatoes from those books just to make them fit in the movies.
Yeah. Cause like, I remember from, I think the Silmarillion, there's like an army of Balrogs. And if you remember what a Balrog is, it's that giant fire demon, that basically kills Gandalf in the first one. There's an army of those, and like,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, you never see that, but it would be cool, like somebody like HBO or Amazon or Netflix take that on. Like, I'm in for it, like, because I love Lord of the Rings, and if I can get more, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a remake, which is fine with me.
Even if it is a remake, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah,
as long as, to me, it's all about the quality, that the love and care that they put into the show. If they get somebody that loves it and they do it well, I don't care what story it is they're going with, I'm going to love it.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
You know, I'm not as big of a Lord of the Rings fan as John is or Josie, but, you know, I'm down with it. I mean, you know, whoever does it is obviously going to be willing to spend the money to make it not suck. So, yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be good, but it's going to be expensive, you know. Like, it's not it's not going to be low budget, you know, so it should be cool.
All right.
I'm curious to see what route they go.
Me too. I'm curious to see on if it actually will be Amazon or Netflix will win or HBO will win, because, I mean, like John said, the big thing right now, the big rage and everything is Game of Thrones, the fantasy, the dragons, all of that, and everybody's looking for the next, you know, Game of Thrones-esque title. Lord of the Rings would be perfect.
I'm more curious is if they're going to take something that's existing from the story already, be it from any part of it, or are they going to try what, like with the Shadow of War game and the Shadow of Mordor game, they tried to kind of like carve their own little niche story like into the universe. I'm more curious to see which route they're going to go of those two things.
Right, whether they're doing something that's already been written or if they're going to completely do their own thing.
Or they're going to try to like wedge something in somewhere.
Yeah, I hope they do a little bit of both, because it would be cool to see like a new story, new characters, but then like along the way you're like, oh shit, there's Gollum. Oh shit, there's Gandalf, you know, for like a scene, and then you're on your way.
It'd be so hard, though, like to be like, hey, there's Gollum, and not have it be Andy Serkis. That would just like fuck with everybody's head.
And honestly, like, I'm curious to see which route they go, but I think if they do that, that the purists are going to shit themselves.
And then, you know what? It's weird because, you know, you're adapting from a book. You know, we've had this talk a lot, like, you know, like Watchmen or something like that. Watchmen's a great story. It's a great book. It's a great graphic novel, but you have to adapt it to look good and be well on, you know, the big screen. So I think you just have a lot of people don't take that into effect. Like, it has to be what the book is exactly. And like, even Watchmen, if they had the giant octopus in the film, it would have not.
Exactly what I was about to say.
Terrible.
the giant space octopus.
It would have translated that how they did it in the movie was like better. So, but they got the same thing accomplished. So I think, you know, there's a big thing of Lord of the Rings. Everybody was disappointed with The Hobbit. Everybody liked Lord of the Rings. So as long as they're new Lord of the Rings, I think people will be happy. But I think still people, including me, would like to see, you know, a scene with Elijah Wood as Frodo or a scene with Ian McKellen as Gandalf or something like that. Because supposedly they're going to spend $100, $150 million per season, whoever gets it. So there's going to be enough money to pay people to come back to it. Just depends on what the deal is.
My thing is I think that if you're a real fan of something, then you should just want more of it. You know, it's like, I never understood why Star Wars fans were like, oh, Disney bought Star Wars, it's gonna be stupid now, they're gonna ruin it. I'm like, look, fuckers, you're getting a whole bunch more Star Wars stuff. I like Star Wars. I'm happy when they throw more Star Wars stuff at me. I just make a shotgun blast, and maybe, you know, three of the things they put out will be great. And maybe eight of them will suck, but we might get three great new Star Wars things. And I'm hoping that's the case with Lord of the Rings. I just want them to use that property more, and hopefully it'll be great.
Well, good, good. Lord of the Rings. We'll fill everybody in when we hear more news on which network, which streaming service actually won the rights and how much it will actually cost. But we will definitely update, because we like talking Lord of the Rings here. One ring to rule them all, you nerds.
Actually, one thing that reminds me of is after the next Bond movie, the next Bond movie is the 25th Bond movie. And then the rights expire for that, because Bond is not owned by like a movie studio. It's owned by the production company. And at that point, the Bond rights will be up for sale.
Yeah, and I wonder,
maybe Disney will buy that too.
They might. Well, I remember, because it took so long between Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig. And then even while Daniel Craig, there was the whole thing with UA and MGM with the rights and everything. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, you know, who knows who's going to pick that up? I mean, I could see Warner Brothers, I can see Universal, because it's a big tentpole film. But yeah, if Disney picks that up, that's just another thing in their canon. And hell, what if the Avengers recruit Bond? I'd be in for it.
Get the fuck out of here. That's the dumbest thing I've heard all day.
What?
Yep.
Oh, y'all are ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Bond and Captain America, they're like the same person. No? Yes? Just nothing?
No. No.
No.
Have you seen either of those things?
No, I have never seen any Bond movie or any Marvel movie, contrary to popular belief.
That is apparent.
Speaking of Marvel movies, let's move on. Thor Ragnarok, a.k.a. Thor 3, a.k.a. Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum in a Jeff Goldblum movie. Character name, Grandmaster, as a DJ. Oh, who saw Thor Ragnarok?
I did.
Me.
Okay. So, first off, I enjoyed Thor Ragnarok. It had problems. It has flaws. But damn it, if they didn't make Thor finally funny and entertaining, and Chris Hemsworth got to finally show off his amazing comedic timing. I had fun with it. It is silly fun. There's a lot wrong with it, but I had fun. I had a good time with it. I think the best part of the movie was Loki and Thor's relationship, the brother-brother thing, them telling stories about growing up. And I'm glad it looked good. It didn't seem like it's all seriousness, but I enjoyed it. What about you guys?
I'll let John go first.
I agree. I think it definitely had its flaws. There was things about it that I really enjoyed, and there were things about it that kind of made me facepalm a little bit. But, you know, I think all in all, it was a good movie. It was a huge improvement over the last Thor movie.
The Dark World.
Yeah, although I'm not quite sure if I liked it more than the first Thor movie. I think, you know, one of the things that I think that this was not the right style of humor for Hemsworth.
I thought he did great in it.
I did not agree. I think there was a lot of funny stuff in this movie, but I thought almost none of it came from Hemsworth. I think that he was super funny when they gave him the lines they gave him for the first Thor movie. I thought that that brand of humor worked really well for that character and for his delivery system. But I just didn't – I was watching this and I was like, man, like if they had given that same line to Chris Pratt, I would have laughed at it. I think he could have delivered it, but they gave it to Hemsworth, and I just didn't find it funny.
Well, the thing about that is I think Chris Pratt is just naturally funny and Chris Hemsworth is not. Like, or at least like
– So he's not funny.
Well, I mean, he did a good job. Like, I think – so I didn't laugh through the whole thing, but I audibly laughed when Chris Hemsworth Thor was telling the story to somebody about Loki and him being kids, and Loki had disguised himself as a snake. And scared
that was
him.
Hilarious.
Dude, I audibly laughed out loud at that. I was like, oh, more of this. And I just like to see Loki and Thor kind of be brothers finally. And
that was hilarious despite how un-Thor-like it was. That's the thing that drove me nuts about that is, oh my gosh, my dogs are going crazy.
But, you know, I think that was the thing. I think Thor, you wanted to finally relate to him because Thor is like one of those characters. You're like, I would never hang out with this guy. But now you kind of, after this movie, you're like, oh, he's kind of fun and cool. And like, yeah. And I think one of the best scenes was definitely.
But not an Asgardian god. That's the thing that it doesn't work is the humor just doesn't feel like Thor.
I don't know. I think it is. I mean, yes, Thor is like that Shakespearean type of character and, you know, he is the Asgardian god. But I think in every Avenger movie and in both Thor movies, you've just seen him straight-laced and straight as an arrow and all of that stuff. So I don't know. I really liked it. And I really loved him off his mark with Doctor Strange and that amazing Doctor Strange Thor scene. Jeremy, what do you think?
About that scene in particular or just in general about the movie?
In general, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I dug the movie. Stuff I liked about it, there is so much Jack Kirby stuff in this movie. It is just permeates the movie just all over the place. Like the background, the technology, so much. There's so much Kirby in the movie that it's just super fantastic. I thought the Hulk looked pretty good. You know, I agree with John a little bit about the humor of the movie. I feel like when you kind of look at like a Guardians of the Galaxy versus this, I feel like, you know, when you have, because you have James Gunn's sense of humor and you have Taika Waititi's sense of humor, and I feel like James Gunn wrote a story and then the, you know, the humor that he puts into it comes from the characters and their personalities and the way they interact. As where this movie, I feel like, as opposed to being built around a plot with then some humor put into it, I just feel like this movie was built around Taika Waititi's sense of humor.
I like
that approach less, because then I feel like it's more about this guy's sense of humor than it is about telling a Thor story. You know,
I agree a million. That's a great way to put it. It was just him importing his own sense of humor and making it try to make it work for this story.
And there's a lot of stuff that you could cut out that you didn't need. Like, I was super stoked to finally get some Planet Hulk stuff. It was pretty different than what the Hulk story was. I actually always wanted a Planet Hulk movie, but I kind of didn't really figure we were ever going to get one. But you know, like the Rock guy that Taika Waititi voiced. I mean, you could have cut that stuff out completely and no, you know, and had the same movie and it wouldn't have mattered. Other thing that was weird, I felt it was weird that we never really got an explanation for how the Hulk ended up on Sakaar. All we got was this footage of him like looking like that the shuttle was flying through space and he's like trying to hold on. I feel like it would have been much better for there to have been an explanation for how he got there. And I think it would have been better to go the route of like Banner had decided that the Hulk was too dangerous to stay on Earth. And so he found a way to banish himself off planet, and Sakaar happened to be the place that he ended up on. I feel like that would have been a little more interesting. And then also I feel like it's really weird to have the Hulk be in multiple movies. He never really speaks except for when you hear him say puny God. And then all of a sudden in this movie, he's talking in pretty much complete sentences.
Yes, I noticed that too. Like at the very,
I feel like that specifically needs to be addressed for why all of a sudden your character is talking.
And so I feel like because in the movie, supposedly he's been Hulk for a very long time and he finally just started talking that way. And another, you know, there was little things like that, like how did he end up on the ship, and like how did Loki get on that planet 2 months prior to Thor getting on that planet. I just there was this thing that
they covered though.
I didn't even catch that.
They covered that when Thor first saw him, because Thor's like, "How have you been here for 2 weeks?" And the Grandmaster actually talks about how time passes differently when you're on the planet.
Oh, okay. Well, I missed that. I do like that the Grandmaster was a shout to Grandmaster Flash, I think. he's a DJ. But yeah, no, there's a lot of problems, but I thought it looked, it was a different take. Like Waititi really took it to a different level. Like we didn't get the same look, the same feel, the same script, same.
I do have to complain about a few things visually though. This was definitely one of my least favorite Marvel movies when it comes to just how it looked, because I think that almost all of the alien creatures looked absolutely retarded.
No, okay, so that's a good idea. That's a good point, because I was going to say, like, most, like, the little, like, minion aliens looked ridiculous and stupid.
They looked like fucking Beetleborgs. Yeah. Do you remember the Beetleborgs? Like, what they were, like, the B knockoff of Power Rangers in the 90s?
Yes.
That's what these fucking monsters looked like. Yeah. It looked like he just bought some 90s surplus TV show costumes and threw them on these guys.
Yeah, they looked ridiculous. And I also have to say that some of the, but minus the climactic fight scene at the end, I thought the CG wasn't that great, as well as the fight choreography until the very end.
Even at the very end, I thought the fight choreography was just completely lacking in any oomph. You know, I cannot think of one single moment in that movie. Now, I was thinking about this because this was one of my initial complaints to Jeremy, is that here's was, you know, kind of an action movie, and I cannot think of one action scene in the entire movie where I was like, man, that was cool. Like, that was just something really fun to watch. And I can't think of one. But upon thinking about it a little bit more, I would rather classify this in the fantasy realm than necessarily being an action movie. It feels much more like a fantasy movie than an action movie.
Right. Yeah, I think
I agree with that.
Yeah. And so we have to give props to two things from Thor. One, it has the best Kevin Smith joke ever in a movie, Thor 3. Are y'all with me?
Go for it. I'm listening.
Matt Damon played Loki again. Do y'all didn't catch
that? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh.
He played Loki in Dogma, and he played Loki while they were watching a play. That was Matt Damon.
I completely did not even put those two together until you just said that.
That was amazing. When I saw that, I'm like, is that fucking Matt Damon? That bitch play Loki again. And I believe the guy who played Thor was Chris Hemsworth's brother, Liam Hemsworth, which is
it was his older brother from that's right. Westworld.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I thought that was like incredible. It's like, oh, Matt Damon got to play Loki again. I bet Kevin Smith was thrilled. What was the other one that I was thinking of besides the Grandmaster Flash segment? I thought Jeff Goldblum was excellent. And I liked the new alien guy who was really dry sense of humor. You remember who I'm talking about, like the big rock guy? Oh, the other thing I was talking about, Carl Urban in like a very unproduced role, but there was cowboy shout outs to Dez Bryant and Troy Aikman. Destroy with the guns. Did y'all pick that up?
No, I think that was just a bad play on words.
No, that was like he's like I got these from Texas. They name him Dez and Troy. That's a Cowboys reference. Destroy. That was totally a Cowboys reference.
I disagree. I think it was just a bad joke.
What?
I thought Carl Urban was horrible in that movie.
So
that whole character was just an absolute waste of screen time.
Yeah, and like the only thing is like, okay, he redeemed himself kind of in the end, but it's just like, why even have him there?
It was so dumb.
Yeah.
It was so dumb.
When he didn't have to jump off.
And I also really have a major beef with the fact that this movie has achieved something monumental in that it was the most ineffectual use of a Led Zeppelin song in a movie ever.
Oh yeah, twice.
Like how are you going to use, first of all, the same fucking song two times, and how are you going to do it two times and have it not feel cool either time?
They did it in Guardians.
Yes. And plus Led Zeppelin is notoriously known for like not giving rights to their music and being very expensive.
Yes, but like in Guardians, when they had that scene, you know, where they used the chain, I was like, oh my God, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was so well done. It was the perfect song, and they mixed it right. It was phenomenal. And this, as soon as it started playing, I was like, oh, okay. And I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan. And I was just like, it didn't do anything emotionally for the scene. In fact, I think it took away from it.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine for what it was. I would have chose something different. I'm glad Led Zeppelin's in there, but yeah. All of this being said, all these gripes, I still enjoyed Thor Ragnarok. I will see it again. It's going to look great on, you know, 4K in Blu-ray. I saw it in 3D, which I highly, highly don't recommend. Don't see it in 3D. Just see it. If you can see it in IMAX, do it, but
yeah,
not 3D.
Standard.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so Jeremy and I have already compared notes on this, but I'd like to hear what you have to say before we tell you our opinion. On a scale of 1 to 10, Brian, what would you give Thor Ragnarok?
I really think I like the first Thor and then this third one and then the second one. So I think with Thor Ragnarok, I'd probably give it a 6.5, 7.
Okay, Jeremy and I both gave it a 7 as well.
Okay,
so that seems to be 7. The consensus of the show.
I literally think one of the best scenes in the movie where it was probably him telling the little story about Loki and Thor telling the story, and then also that Doctor Strange scene with Thor was like magnificently edited and just fun to watch. Like I loved that scene.
I disagree. I thought the scene with Doctor Strange was totally stupid.
I loved it. I just like, I like Doctor Strange.
I did love the get help scene. The get help scene was one of the high points.
That was good. get help scene. yeah, no, that was. I enjoyed it. Like it's like you said, we've griped about it, but I think it's a silly, fun movie. And does it? It's okay. So. There's two tags at the end during the credits. Who is the ship in the mid credit sequence?
That is.
Well,
the
do we want to spoil this?
Yeah. People seen it.
Yeah, Sanctuary 2.
Yes, Thanos' ship.
Okay, so that's what I thought. That's my immediate thought. I was like, would it be like someone like other celestial being, or is it going to be like another villain? But that is definitely Thanos' ship.
It's Thanos' ship
confirmed already.
I'm assuming they found because Loki took the cosmic cube.
So yeah, they allude to that because he's walking through and he's like, there it is. And then I like that Hela, the goddess of death, she kind of like knocked over Thanos' glove, basically. It's like, this is fake. But we'll see. I am curious. Because when that ship came up, I was like, I wonder if that's actually that. So
she will most likely be in Avengers.
Who?
Hela.
She will?
Yep. Because Thanos, everything he does is to impress and death, basically, in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is most likely going to be that representation in the movies.
Okay.
And even they talk about it at the post-credit scene in Avengers when they talk when Thanos is little, like, whoever that dude is that talks to Loki. You know, he says to challenge them is to court death, and then Thanos smiles. And they're actually even doing that a little bit in the comics now, like in a recent issue of Thor.
Interesting.
A little romantic Hela Thanos thing.
Interesting. All right. So would you recommend going to see Thor in the theater to everybody?
To anyone who's a Marvel fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone who's looking for some, you know, blockbuster Hollywood entertainment.
All right.
Yeah. And it's different from any other Marvel movie, which to me is cool in and of itself.
All right. Cool. All right. Moving on. That's Thor talk. Let's move on to Stranger Things 2. We talked about Stranger Things Season 2 a little bit last week, but I think we all finished it. We've gone through Season 2. Now we can talk about it. Spoilers and everything. So if you haven't seen Stranger Things 2, skip a few minutes ahead because we will be talking spoilers and what we felt about the ending, where it's going to be going, and all that good stuff. But I have to say that I really, really, really enjoyed this season, even more so than the first season. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I like how it ended. I like where it might be going. What about you guys?
I completely agree with everything you just said. It was way better than the first season, and the finale was incredible.
Yeah,
the music choices, the emotion behind it all, the depth in the characters. I got fucking choked up watching that finale. I was completely like blindsided by it. I was not prepared emotionally for the things that I was feeling when I was watching that episode.
Me?
And I was like, man, I the last time I got choked up like that was when fucking Bing Bong died in Inside Out. It doesn't happen that often, but that was the last time that a movie like really upset me. this is what did that to me.
No, I gotta agree with that. Like there was, I think at the end, the penultimate episode, the second to last episode in the last episode, I found myself like getting that lump in my throat because they really did it. They really just went for it in that emotional thing. And then they actually got
That's
to show
a home run.
Yeah. They got to show the kids being kids and, oh man, with Dustin getting his hair done up like Steve, which Steve is like the MVP this season, really.
Steve was majorly good character development for Steve.
Oh,
and yeah, being like the older brother character, and the whole thing with Dustin where he was like crying out the side, and then Nancy was dancing with him. I was like, oh my god,
so
all the feels, man.
Oh man, Jeremy, what about you? What are your thoughts on season two, Stranger Things?
I dug it. I loved everything. How did you guys feel about the whole 11 go into the city?
I like that. It got her out of her element, and she got to find, you know, sister. And I was like, ooh, feels. And it, I think it showed that arc of, like, she doesn't belong out there. She really belongs back, you know, in Indiana with everybody.
I thought the whole search for Mama was superfluous.
I agree. The whole city thing, that was the only thing where I was just like, man, this kind of sucks and doesn't really fit with the entire rest of the show.
I agree completely.
And all of those city characters were so terrible.
Okay, so, you know, I thought about that, and I'm like, think back to the 80s, like Return of the Living Dead and all those movies that had all the crazy punk.
It was a throwback to that, definitely.
Yeah, the punk, but the punk
I know,
people.
Like, I know what it is. I'm just saying I didn't like it.
Okay.
I thought the characters were bad and the acting was bad, and like the chick that the girl that played like the character, what was it, 8? Like that was like, for me, that was like barely tolerable.
So see, I like the 8 thing because I like how they introduce, like, oh, there's way more kids and this is how one of those kids lives their life right now, which is, could see the evil side of it rather than 11's really good side. And it showed, you know, kind of like a Star Wars Force, like you're going to the dark side, you're going to the light side type of thing. That's what I got from it when I was watching that episode. And I'm like, okay, so I bet we'll see her at some point, you know, the sister again, but, you know, not anytime soon.
There was a moment in this whole season where I was like, are they fucking with us right now? Is this going to actually turn out to be like an X-Men origin story? Like, I was like, you know, there was a certain point where she was meeting 8 and they were both like showing that they had superhuman powers and stuff like that. And I was like, what if this was some fucking like Jean Grey origin story and this turns out to be in the Marvel universe? That would just be mind blowing. But I there was a moment where I really thought that that was a possibility.
Oh, I mean, I never thought that, but yeah, there are definitely similarities to it. And maybe that's where they're going. Maybe there's like going to be a school or something. Who knows? But I really like that.
McAvoy's going to show up and be like, I need to recruit you for my school.
Yeah. and we have to give a standing ovation to the amazing Sean Astin.
Oh, man.
That character was
I'm not
so
ready
amazing.
To talk about this. I'm not ready to talk about this.
He did everything right except for his last thing he ever did, which was stop. You just, like, if you're running from shit, you keep running until, like, you're in the car, basically. You just don't stop right when you get on the other side and, you know, take a breath and look longingly. You keep running.
Dude, so before I finished, before I got to that episode, I was texting my sister about how much I'm loving season 2 of Stranger Things. And I was like, dude, Bob is my new favorite character in TV shows. It's like, he's up there. It's like Han Solo, the dude, and Bob now for my favorite fictional characters. And I was like, I love him so much. He's such a great addition to the show. And then the next episode I watched, they fucking killed him. And you know, they're showing him getting like eaten. It was a gratuitous death scene, and I wasn't down for that. I was too upset about the fact that Bob was dead. I didn't need to see them mauling his corpse. I got that he was dead. You didn't need to make it that much dead. It was too much dead.
They needed to show it. Like, if they didn't show it, there wouldn't be like a big. They need to show him more because he was like definitely a fan favorite this season, and like he was just a bona fide badass, and it
Bob
really,
was awesome.
Huh? Bob was Bob awesome. He was
awesome. Yep.
Did you like Bob, Jeremy?
I did. I wish they would have found a better way to kill a guy than have him stop in the middle of all of it and smile and then get tackled by a monster.
Yeah, because it's
lazy writing, especially when a character that refers to himself is Bob the Brain that figured out the whole puzzle, translated it all, you know, located Hopper, like that smart guy is going to stop and smile right there. That to me was like kind of the execution on that scene in the writing was kind of a low point to me for the season.
Hmm. Yeah.
He deserved a better death.
I agree. No, he did.
He deserved a smarter death.
Exactly, because as soon as he stopped, I'm like, oh, fuck, he's going to die right now. And I'm like, why did they do this to him? Like, just keep him running, and then he would have been great in season 3.
Yeah, we could have used Bob. I was really hoping that they were going to find some kind of time loop to go back and undo the death of Bob, but they don't seem to have done that yet.
Nope. I liked all the kids this season. Again, I liked the introduction of Mad Max, who I really liked as a character, and her brother, who I'm very curious on other seasons he'll be in, because it kind of left
him. That guy was a son of a bitch, man. Like, he was such a good villain.
He was, and like I was like, why does he not like the black kid? And is that a racial thing, or is it just like he doesn't want that to happen? And like the whole, when everything was revealed about, you know, the stepdad and the stepmother and all that stuff, I was like, why would this guy be an asshole? Like, I don't get it. And, you know, I'm curious to see where it's because you saw, what's his name? His mother and him flirting. So I wonder if there's going to be a different or a storyline on that coming soon next season or not. But yeah, he was a good villain. And I liked Mad
Max. He's been tweeting pictures of Nightwing, the actor.
Really?
Yep. There was a rumor that DC was talking about doing a solo Nightwing movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's been tweeting some pictures of Nightwing.
So does he want to play Nightwing, I guess?
No one really knows. No one knows if he's saying he wants to play Nightwing or if he's just shooting that out there because maybe he auditioned and got the role, but everyone is speculating because I think he was the Red Power Ranger also in the new movie.
Okay, right. No, I enjoyed him, and I loved, oh man, the winter ball dance at the very end episode, the last episode with the music, and you know, Will getting asked, you know, as Zombie Boy out, and then Mad Max asking the boyfriend, and Dustin literally being like a ladies' man but not getting any, but then what's her name came over. I mean, it was just all really cool to see how they did that, and just the 11, it was just so heartwarming and everything. But then at the very end of that show, we go into the Upside Down. It looks like the big monster is right over the school. So what do you think that means for future season?
It means the Upside Down still exists.
So, well, I think it always
exists. And there's bad guys still.
Well, I mean, okay, so yeah, the Upside Down always existed, but what Eleven did here was close it up from getting into the real world, right?
That's what it seems like. But, you know, not too much. They can't close it off too much, or else the third season will just be them hanging out.
True. So I wonder, like, so the monster was right on top of the school, so I wonder what that means for next season in the kids, you know? I wonder if that's like, the monster knows exactly where they are now, and it's hell unleashed if something happens. Because I guess what we saw the lab close down. We saw Paul Reiser in an excellent role, which I thought he would be like the evil guy, but he really wasn't. It doesn't look like he's working there anymore. Hopper adopted Eleven, which was got my lump in my throat, basically. So I don't know. Where do you see this going?
I have no predictions.
Okay.
I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, I liked it. I actually probably within the next couple of weeks am going to rewatch it again because I loved it so much. I want to see more of it. But yes, let's move on. Call of Duty World War II. Call of Duty World War II came out, and I don't think Jeremy has played it, but Jonathan and myself have played it. Despite some pretty hardcore opening day launch issues, connectivity-wise, Call of Duty World War II is badass, in my opinion.
I agree completely. And I'm not even going to hold the opening day launch problems about it because, you know, in this day and age of internet gaming, it seems like opening day for any multiplayer game is always just kind of a shit show to a certain extent. There's always varying problems because they're figuring out server little issues that pop up. So I kind of give them a day or two as a given to figure their shit out when it first releases.
All right. Yeah, I really like it. If you play Call of Duty, it is very Call of Duty-ish, but there's a lot of different things about it. For instance, it's a lot like Destiny in the form of your headquarters. You get to go open mail. You get to get add-ons. There's emblems to make. There's things to get. There's missions to do. It was cool to see that in that aspect. Also, in single-player mode, the first thing you do is storm the beach at Normandy, which was hardcore. Very Saving Private Ryan-like.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, like, this campaign is one of the best campaigns I've played in a long time. For a first-person shooter. It's been quite a long time since I played a first-person shooter single-player campaign that legitimately excited me.
They did themselves right here. Like, I've three missions in, I think, and man, it is damn fun and crazy. And like, even if you look in the distance or the skies, there's always something going on too. Like, it's like a really involved game.
Yeah, it looks amazing, and they do such a good job of making it fun. There are so many things. It's a little bit over the top. They're not just completely going like, oh, we're going to make everything super realistic and all that kind of stuff. No, they're like, let's take World War II and let's just do ridiculous fun shit with it. And that's pretty much how it feels. There's so many little things that you get to do in the campaign, whether you're shooting down planes or hauling ass in a Jeep through the European countryside. It's just incredibly fun.
Yeah, it is super good, super fun. And then there's multiplayer, which there's several different options you can do. You can do team deathmatch, which is kind of like your basic 4-on-4 or 6-on-6 type of style of fighting. You know, you teams versus each other and some pretty cool maps. And then there is war. Option, which is really cool, which is basically the same, but you're doing objectives such as like you have to clear all the bunkers, you have to fuel the tanks, you have to escort a tank from one place to another, which is super fun. And I've been enjoying that. Of course, there's like, you know, capture the flag and all that stuff. And then, of course, the famous Nazi zombie mode, which is really cool. And scary, actually. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I think it's awesome so far. I've been completely happy with the purchase.
Yeah, World War II, Call of Duty, Jeremy, I hope you get it.
That's probably not going to happen.
Dermot, because your brother and Big D, John, and I, and Ebola, we're all on it. It's so much fun.
I'm glad you guys are having a good time.
Well... maybe one day, but yes, Call of Duty 2, World War 2, I think you're going to have a good time with it if that's your thing. And again, if you're used to playing things like Halo or Destiny, hold on to your seats. It's way more realistic than that. It's super fast and you can get killed.
And way better than Destiny 2 so far, and way better than the last
Halo. There's nothing like the realism of Nazi zombies.
Well, yes, true, but... you know, you can't jump high or...
You can't play the realism card with me and then be like, Nazi zombie mode.
Hey, Nazi zombies. No, I'm talking about, like, your gameplay. Like, with Destiny or Halo, you can jump, like, 50 feet in the air. But, you know, here, yeah, no, you can't.
I don't care one bit about the realistic, about how realistic the game is. To me, it's just about how much fun it is. And this is just a better game than we got with the last Halo and so far what we've got with Destiny.
No, true. But, like, you know, let's say somebody's playing an hour or two on Halo or Destiny and then they just switch to Call of Duty. You're like, oh, God, this is a big, you know, difference here.
Well, I think if you expect a World War II soldier to feel like a super soldier space future guy, it's not going to feel the same. And you're an idiot for expecting that.
True. Yeah. It just takes some getting used to. Really. Takes some getting used to. All right. Call of Duty World War II. Are there any updates for Destiny 2 yet or anything else like that?
They're talking about the next expansion. They've announced that whole Osiris thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And December.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Cool. Well,
that's probably about when I'll hop on it again, see what's up with that.
Same here. Peek in and see if they've made it suck less.
All right. Well, that's...
I'm waiting for Battlefront 2 right now.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Battlefront 2. That is, I guess, our next game we will be playing together. So we will have reviews on that soon. But yeah, Call of Duty World War II. Let's move on. I have to mention, since we talk about tech stuff as well, I got an iPhone X, and it's pretty cool, I must say. Did any of you get an iPhone X?
Nope.
Nope.
Are y'all planning?
And I have zero interest in getting a new iPhone.
Really? Yeah. Why?
It's just I don't care at all. Like. Mm. I really don't. I don't know what else to say about it aside from it just is not interesting to me.
Okay. So
me as well.
I mean, I've had the last iPhone I had was a 6 Plus, so it's been over 2 years since I've upgraded, and I felt I needed an upgrade. So they finally changed the iPhone for the iPhone X. They made it a full screen, so the screen size is actually bigger than the 6 Plus, but the physical size of the phone is smaller, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
The face recognition is awesome. Like, it's super fast and easy, like it's in real time. So, you know, you look at your phone, you bring it up to your face, and it automatically recognizes you, and it opens your phone up. So that's a pretty cool deal. The camera filters they have and the new 3D camera thing is badass. You could basically take pictures in low light situations or whatever and make them look like studio quality at literally just a tap of the button. It is badass. The Animojis are pretty cool. There's a lot of things they can do with this iPhone in future with the 3D face mapping that's so fast on it, which could be really cool. Right now it's all animated, but let's, you know, what if they start doing facial mapping and you can put your face like on top of Thor's face, you know, in a video, because this has the technology to do that, which is pretty cool. Other than that, it's kind of like the same deal. Just, you know, it's all glass on both sides, so don't fucking drop it. But
just a real expensive Facebook machine.
Yeah. So yeah, yes, true. It's an expensive phone, but it is, if you're into, you know, the smartphone stuff, it is definitely the one to get. So yes, iPhone X, if you haven't ordered one yet, you'll have to wait a few weeks to get it, but I like it so far. Once I dive more into it, I'll update everybody onto it. Our second to last topic, let's talk about The Rock versus Taye Diggs. I've heard a little bit about this Rock Taye Diggs feud, but what's the beef behind this? Does anybody know?
I have no idea.
Jeremy?
I think it has something to do with The Rock being with Hobbs being the most featured character in the Fast and Furious movies now, with the like him kind of taking over.
Okay, so What's the beef? Did Taye Diggs call The Rock out?
I think he just doesn't, based on the beef, whether real or fake, is that he doesn't like it, that he doesn't feel that Hobbs should be getting the most screen time.
And Taye Diggs has let everybody know this on social media,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's calling out, Taye Diggs is calling out The Rock for like, it's kind of like he's being like the best guy on the screen, basically, and getting more time.
People like you more than me because you're funnier and better looking and more entertaining in general.
So with that being said, personally, do you guys think this is a real beef or do you think this is something more like something fake, but alluding to something?
No, if it is real, it's not surprising. It seems like exactly the kind of shit Hollywood actors would get in beef about, I guess. But I don't care. I just, like, I'm sorry. I don't care about Taye Diggs and his opinion.
Okay, Jeremy, what do you think?
I think it's probably fake.
So, interestingly enough, on the last, or two Fast and the Furious movies ago, there was a lot of talk, a lot of contracts, a lot of stuff going on that The Rock and Vin Diesel were in a big feud online and everything, but it was all supposed to be fake and fun to have a storyline for WrestleMania where The Rock and Vin Diesel get in the ring and sort of kind of whatever fight. That never panned out. That didn't happen. Nobody could get the, you know, the contracts right or anything like that. So basically it's just The Rock coming out and doing whatever and no Vin Diesel. So do you think The Rock and Taye Diggs, this is a WrestleMania event to come?
Maybe.
Jeremy?
Hopefully.
Probably.
Would y'all be excited for this? Like if they got Taye Diggs and let's say those are the two that are in the ring, but then, you know, some of the other Fast and the Furious actors are there or something like that. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Taye Diggs would be that exciting of a wrestler to watch.
So it's cool. It's interesting to talk about that because a few years ago at WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey got in the ring with The Rock and the two kind of slapped faces with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And then The Rock came out when he was in Dallas for WrestleMania and like had like a 6-second match with the Wyatt family. It was ridiculous. But they've done stuff like this before. Like Stephen Amell has had a pay-per-view match with people and he was excellent at it. So it's not entirely out of the question that Taye Diggs would do this. I've never seen Taye Diggs do anything sports-like, really. But I'm curious to see if this would just kind of be a like a big promo for something and then the two get in a fight or something like that. Maybe Vin Diesel gets in between them. I don't know. I have no idea. But I was curious. Jeremy had a good question or topic with this because, you know, with WWE and movies, it seems like it's all part of the marketing platform. And do you like this type of marketing? Like, you know, fake beef, you know, just to sell a product or no?
I don't personally like it. I largely don't care, though, one way or another.
Well, it has The Rock. You like guys really like The Rock.
I don't really like that marketing. If this is a marketing strategy, I don't really enjoy that one because tabloid news drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah. I agree.
That's all this kind of stuff culminates in is just, you know, different tabloid websites just dropping articles saying, oh, are actually Taye Diggs and The Rock in a fight with each other? We don't know.
Yeah,
out reading this article here, clickbait.
Yeah, who cares? And I mean, you know, you never know if like they're trying to set up a wrestling thing and Vince was like, start something online and see how many people are into it, you know, and if that happens.
If The Rock posted a video of him talking shit to Taye Diggs, I'd be interested.
Okay. All right.
But outside of that, like, I'm not really interested in the second and third parties' opinions of what's going on here.
All right. I'm with you guys. I'm just curious if this is marketing or if this is a WrestleMania thing and if we'll see more of stuff like this in the future.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was just marketing. And if it pans out, I'm sure they'll keep doing it.
All right. Our last segment, Young Guns Recast. We talked about last week with remakes of Ace Ventura, Young Guns, and Major League. In the pipeline, we decided to recast Young Guns as if it were remade today, or as it is, will probably be remade today. We have suggestions for the production studios and production companies. It's hard to replace Emilio Estevez, Kiefer Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, Dermot Mulroney, Terrence Stapp, Jack Palance. But we will try our best with the people we have today. Young Guns, I love the movie. It's quite fun. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. I'll just give all of mine, and y'all can say yes or no. Starting with Lawrence Murphy, originally played by Jack Palance, I put in Javier Bardem, which I think would be quite cool. Playing the role of John Tunstall, I put Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who would have placed Terrence Stamp. For the role of
That's a good one. I like that one.
You like that one? Yeah, I like that one. For the role of the Dirty Steve Stevens, who was originally played by Dermot Mulroney, I picked Ewan Rehan, which, you know, who played Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones. I thought that would be excellent.
It's a good pull.
And then for the role of Dick Brewer, originally played by Charlie Sheen, I picked Michael B. Jordan from Creed.
Wait, who did you – wait, which character?
Dick Brewer, Richard
I
Brewer.
I picked the exact same thing.
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
Fantastic. We were on the same wavelength there. I like that. For the character who had to be named twice, Chavez y Chavez, I picked Diego Luna, who was in Rogue One, originally played by Lou Diamond Phillips. But I picked Diego Luna. For Doc Scurlock, originally played by Kiefer Sutherland, I went with Walton Goggins, you know, from the Tarantino movies and Vice Principals. I really think he would be awesome. And, of course, Billy the Kid.
Is he young? Is he young enough to be Young Gun?
I do. I think so. He
that's
very
that's middle-aged Gun. That's what that is.
I still pick him. He looks young.
No, he fucking doesn't.
I'm going with him. And, of course, Billy the Kid, originally played by Emilio Estevez. I picked Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad to be Billy the Kid.
Oh, my God.
No?
I don't think Aaron Paul should be in anything ever again.
What?
He got so typecast as Jesse. He was perfect for Jesse, but he probably couldn't ever do anything else ever again. It just they tried that already. It didn't work. People don't like Aaron Paul being anything but Jesse.
Okay, so prove me wrong.
I only ever want to see Aaron Paul outside of that in some kind of comedic skit like that he's doing like online.
I agree. I'm okay with that. With him making fun of himself,
basically doing Breaking Bad jokes.
Okay. All right. That's my cast. Jeremy and I were on the same wavelength with one of those, which is great. But who wants to go?
That's
next?
Amazing.
Who wants to?
You went off the deep end with those last two.
Walton Goggins and Aaron Paul would be amazing. But prove me wrong.
I guess I'll go next here. So okay. It's been so long since I've actually seen Young Guns that I kind of just had to. I'm just going off of the actors' names here, as opposed to saying, oh, you know, it's this character that I'm replacing.
I almost did that, too.
I'm just like, so in playing Emilio Estevez, I decided that instead of Estevez, we'd put Ryan Gosling in there. Ryan Gosling, you can't be like, no, about him in action movies, because Drive is absolutely one of the coolest action movies of the last 10 years. That movie is awesome. Such a good movie. All right, so Ryan Gosling as Emilio Estevez playing the role of Charlie Sheen. I'm going to give that to Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Kick ass
himself. Playing Lou Diamond Phillips, I'm going to give that to Jason Momoa.
Aquaman.
I thought we were doing Young Guns here. Clearly, we needed an age qualifier on Young Guns.
Momoa's young. He's not old.
How old is Momoa?
How old are all of the
people you've picked so far? Every dude you picked is like in their 30s.
Is Aaron Taylor Johnson really that old?
Jason Momoa.
I feel like Aaron Taylor Johnson's in his 20s.
Jason Momoa is 38 years old.
Wow, okay. Well, that sucks. I just couldn't think.
How old is Ryan Gosling? He's got like 3 kids.
I don't know. He looks like he's 23.
Ryan Gosling is 36.
Fuck.
And what was the other one you named, John?
Momoa and Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Aaron Taylor Johnson is married to like a 60-year-old. Aaron Taylor Johnson is 27, so he is your youngest.
Oh, okay. Awesome. That worked. I like how you have
all these like late 20s dudes who are like supposed to be like being adopted by this like random like ranch hand.
There's not enough good young actors, man. It's like, okay, so the problem is that if I'm choosing young actors, I pretty much can choose the kid that played Spider-Man or the last two kids that played Spider-Man or the guy that was in Whiplash.
Oh, they're too old.
It's like there's like 5 young actors that are good, and they're all super girly.
So you want Manny from what's that show? God damn it. What Manny from that show? What's the popular show?
What the hell are you talking about?
With all the family, Sofia Vergara.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have no idea.
Manny. Oh my God, what show is this? Why can't
you are completely derailing my casting.
No, but I am. Manny from Modern Family, the little Hispanic kid. He could be your Hispanic role in this movie.
So now that I'm looking at my list, I'm realizing that I made middle-aged guns also.
I did,
as old as that other guy you chose. That Walton guy's Goggins? Like way old.
Walton Goggins? Yeah. I'm looking him up.
I love that guy. He's super cool. I think he's a great actor, but he does seem too old. Anyways, so I'm going to give Sutherland's role to Chris Hemsworth. And playing Dermot Mulroney, I'll let Zac Efron do it.
Ah, all right. All right.
And that was my casting. There's not enough young actors.
He's pissed.
There's not enough young actors. Like I said, the problem is that every young actor that's out there right now looks like he's five.
Oh, my
they're,
God.
They're just
so
like
good.
Super sensitive and like delicate. They weigh 90 pounds. I just don't buy them being tough cowboys. None of them.
Oh, you don't want Dylan McDermott to play Dermot Mulroney's role?
What?
You don't want Dylan McDermott to play Dermot Mulroney's role.
Isn't Dylan McDermott like really old?
I'm just doing a play on names.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
That was really good.
He wrote that joke like 3 days ago. He was just trying to find a way to put it in.
But yeah, so that's my main problem. My main problem is that there are just no tough seeming young actors nowadays. You guys disagree with this?
I agree with you 1,000,000%.
It's everyone's now. I am completely okay with there being sensitive dudes and caring guys and little guys and everything, but not every mating like. I think that there's like one so leading pissed. Role, one leading actor, you know, vibe in America right now. All the young male leading actors seem like the same person.
Okay.
There's no variance to that character.
I agree, but that's also why I think when you look at all the actors that get cast in the Marvel movies, all those dudes are late 30s and then their 40s.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
All right.
And I'm okay with that. It's like they have to go find somebody that's 30 that actually will seem like he could kick your ass, I guess.
Right. All right.
Except for Aaron Taylor Johnson. Kick ass can kick ass.
You make me laugh, Jonathan Atterbury. Oh, this is so much fun. Mediocrity. Our last recast comes from Jeremy Magert, Young Guns. Let's see if he has the best recast. Jeremy, Young Guns, go.
All right. So with Billy the Kid, I agree. The kind of generic plug-in, I feel like John hit it, was Tom Holland, but I decided to go with Dylan O'Brien.
I like Dylan O'Brien.
Which one's he?
The Maze Runner kid, and he's in a new action movie with Michael Keaton, where Michael Keaton's training him to be an assassin.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
I like him. I like that guy.
So with Doc, I went with somebody who's kind of nerdy. I went with Miles Teller.
Miles Teller. I see. I thought about Miles Teller for him, and I also thought about what's his name? It'll come to me. Go move
on. The one you can't remember is probably better than what you actually picked.
I like Walton Goggins.
Man, the Chavez one was tough because I was trying to find somebody who was like a Native American actor as opposed to going the Hispanic route, since it was Lou Diamond Phillips. Man, the only like one I could really like find was the dude who was in The Magnificent Seven.
Oh.
And his name is like Martin Sensmeyer,
okay.
I think is his name. He was the only dude that I could come up with where I was like, that actually looked like he could, you know, fit in. Dick Brewer was Michael B. Jordan. My choice for Tunstall was Michael Keaton.
And then taking over the villain role, I was going to give that to Idris Elba.
Ooh, Idris. I thought about Idris, too. And I just saw him in the Gunslinger Reborn, Dark Tower. And he's good, but, man, that movie was a turd. So, no more. Yeah. I like Idris Elba. Man, I should have put Idris Elba. I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan a lot. And I think we like Michael B. Jordan and Idris Elba. I like this. It's pretty good. I like this Young Guns.
That's
recast.
A tough one to recast. That's a tough one.
No, nobody rocked the token female edition.
No, we did not. There were no women in our cast. so good. Maybe next time we'll do it. We'll do an all girls recast for Major League. Which would be really...
They did. It's called A League of Their Own.
Yes, true. Willie Mays Hayes. Wilma Wade. Well, whatever. Fuck it. That is our Young Guns recast. And that is our mediocrity episode for this week. We hope you enjoyed. We had a lot of fun. Thanks to Jeremy Magert and Jonathan Atterbury. You can find Jeremy Magert at Jeremy Magert Art on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can find Jonathan Atterbury at New American Fitness. Find him, find them, see them, love them. But thank you for doing Mediocrity. That was good. And we will be back next week with a Major League recast amongst news and movies and everything.